live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, out of 87 Garda members reallocated to Rhodes policing units throughout the country, three have been appointed to Donegal. A West Donegal councillor has hit out at what he claims are substandard pipes in Derrynconner, Glasherhugh and Mina Clady between Gortahork and Gidore. It's emerged that a business community watch group for Carndonagh has not been set up despite apparent interest from local businesses, and the number of people presenting themselves as homeless in Donegal remains stable. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin. But first in news, the Health Minister was told Vicky Phelan's case was not considered a patient safety issue by the National Screening Service. The Department of Health have published the briefing note Simon Harris was given before Vicky Phelan's court case went ahead. Sean Defoe reports.
Minister Simon Harris was given a briefing note on Vicky Phelan's case on April 16th, 3 days before it went to court. It noted attempts to get her to sign a non-disclosure agreement as part of a settlement, which would have meant that none of this would have come to light. The document also suggested that women who had their cases audited were being informed and had the right to request information. The briefing says the department was advised that this case was not a patient safety incident, but rather a limit in the current methods of screening, which they say produce not an insignificant number of false negative results. It also says that no quality issues have arisen with regard to the US lab that examines about half of the smear tests in Ireland. Simon Harris was given media advice for how to comment on the case when it went through the court or settled, being told to acknowledge the severe distress this case had put on Vicky Phelan and her family. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Unionist politicians in the north have been accused by Sinn Féin of bad manners for not meeting the EU's chief Brexit negotiator as he visits towns on the border. Michel Barnier is discussing possible solutions to customs arrangements after the UK leaves Europe. Yesterday, the House of Lords voted to give MPs a final say on any Brexit deal. Michel Barnier has given this response to the government's defeat.
We have to maintain cooperation between Northern and Ireland and in particular to maintain the peace programme. And to be clear, this week the European Commission will propose the new framework for the future financial perspective from 21 until 26, 27, and I can tell you that we are ready to maintain the peace programme. We are open to any solution which be able to maintain the Belfast Agreement in all its dimensions, the whole Ireland economy, and also to respect the integrity of the single market. We have proposed one solution, which is operational, and I'm ready to explain this solution to everybody.
Out of 87 Garda members reallocated to Rhodes policing units throughout the country, three have been appointed to Donegal. The Garda Traffic Corps has undergone an internal examination and evaluation of their roles and functions with a view to improving their service to the community and their contribution to road safety. As part of this work, the Traffic Corps will in future be known as Rhodes Policing. Donegal's GRA spokesperson Brendan O'Connor says the investment is positive, but it isn't near enough for what's required to address what he described as a chronic situation in the Donegal Garda force.
What is disappointing is when you see the figures that Donegal, we're only in a position to reallocate three members of staff to this unit, whereas we have seen that a lot of retirements from the Traffic Corps. The Traffic Corps in Donegal has been reduced in its capability in recent years, so this doesn't really go towards even replacing what was lost. So again, I don't want to sound negative, it's great to see any investment, but we are still going backwards, and unfortunately in Donegal we still are starved of resources, and the fact that we can only allocate three is indicative of the shortfall in members on regular units. The members just aren't there to be released to specialised units. It's so chronic. The shortage. We're still down in the region of 23 or 25% of members from 2008, and we really are struggling. So, again, they talk about vehicles and they're spending money and increasing vehicles. The Garda's traffic fleet in Donegal has been diminished. There was a time when there was two four-wheel drives assigned to traffic duties alone. They're gone. I the number of unmarked cars has been seriously reduced. So, I mean, the chances of people getting caught is less, but deterrent isn't out there. And the marked vehicles that we have are just standard family saloons with a few stickers on them. You know, we don't have, there's one vehicle that will probably is high power, but we don't really have the sort of vehicles that are used in other jurisdictions. If you just step across the border to Northern Ireland, our colleagues who we work alongside, you'll see them with fleets of four-wheel drives, high-powered Audi Quattro estate cars there for high speeds. They have the tools fit for the job.
A West Donegal councillor has hit out at what he claims are substandard pipes in Derry Connor, Glasherhugh and Mina Claddy between Gortahork and Gidore. Councillor Seamus O'Donnell says houses in the area have been without water on an on and off basis since Thursday evening, and that's typical of what he says are constant problems over the last number of years. He's calling on Irish Water to replace pipes, but to date Councillor O'Donnell says they have made no commitments.
There's large-scale asbestos pipes in the ground. They have been deteriorating for the last number of years, but over the last number of days there have been households without water periodically since last Thursday. I have been speaking with Irish Water in regards to it. They are not at this point committing to any further investment. I have sought a meeting with the regional manager of Irish Water to discuss and to explain the difficulties and problems that are in that area, and I will be demanding from Irish Water that they come up front with funding as a matter of absolute urgency to eradicate the massive problems that are in that area.
In many ways, there's two issues here. On the one hand, you have the actual standard of supply that's coming from the pipes. On the other hand, you have the pipes themselves. As you say, there's asbestos in them, and we know there have been commitments in the past to replace old asbestos pipes, replace old lead pipes, and replace them with more modern infrastructure. So on both counts, there should be investment here, you'd argue.
Well, absolutely. The situation is that when the leaks are currently being replaced with new plastic piping, the water is of such a substandard standard because of the asbestos that is flowing through them and the dirt and muck that is getting into the pipe network. The water is effectively undrinkable for a number of days after the pipe replacement takes place. The only solution to this problem is that Irish Water do replace the pipes on a large-scale basis, and it is imperative at this stage that Irish Water get rid of the asbestos pipes that are crumbling and that are causing, in my opinion, dangers to people's health through the substandard water that they are receiving. And I will be calling on Irish Water in the strongest possible terms to start this pipe replacement as a matter of absolute urgency.
It's emerged that a business community watch group for Carndonagh has not been set up despite apparent interest from local businesses. The town and surrounding area was subject to a high number of break-ins last year, which led to calls for a business watch group to be established. While efforts have been made by Gardaí to get the group up and running, it's understood that there have been difficulties getting locals to sign up for the committee. Councillor Albert Doherty has described the news as extremely disappointing and says questions need to be answered.
I was very disappointed to get an update yesterday where at the JPC it was remarked that there wasn't the interest in the local business sector to have this, to participate and have this up and going. And that's not what I got from the public meeting, the numbers who attended, and the wishes of the general public and the local public to work with the Gardaí to set up a business watch scheme. And I'll be making it my business now to go about and check with local businesses that there will be and still is an interest in setting up a coordination group with the local Gardaí.
Now, last year you held quite a significant, well-attended public meeting in this regard, but Gardaí have come back and said that there hasn't been enough interest in terms of setting up a committee for the Business Watch Scheme. Is that not quite concerning?
It would be very concerning. That's where I want to ascertain how true and how many people have been consulted, because I do believe that a local group will be there willing to liaise with the Gardaí to ensure and assure everybody that there is the significant cooperation that is required between the general local public and our local Gardaí, and that it's on the ground, and that it's visible, and that we do have people interested in the protection and the upholding of law in the Carndonagh and the Greater North of the Shone area.
Gardaí are continuing to question a 32-year-old man following the discovery of a woman's body on the outskirts of Sligo town. The remains were found in a wooded area close to Loch Gill by officers searching for 30-year-old Natalia Carachin. The mother of three was last seen in the early hours of Sunday morning. No formal identification has yet taken place. Chief Superintendent Aidan Glacken gave an update a short time ago.
Young Polish lady, she was the mother of three children living in Sligo. And when went out socialising on Saturday night and hasn't been seen since.
We have a family liaison officer and we're in communication with the family of the missing person and they're fully informed, as they're entitled to be, as to the current status of the investigation.
The MICA Action Group have once again written to Housing Minister Damien English, urging him to proceed with the redress scheme for MICA-affected homes in Donegal despite other delays. At a meeting in Carndonagh just before Christmas, Minister English indicated a protocol relating to a redress scheme would be published by the end of April. That deadline has now been missed and it may be the end of next month before progress is made. Eileen Doherty of the MICA Action Group says this should not impact on the confirmation of a redress scheme.
At that meeting in Carndonagh in December, the Minister gave us an assurance that following conclusion on recommendation one, which was planned for January 2018, we would have a decision on the issue of redress by end of May 2018. The MICA Action Group wrote to the Minister in February asking for an update and we only received a reply a couple of weeks ago and really we were given very little in terms of any progress. So we have responded to the Minister just the end of last week asking for some meaningful progress update on relation to this issue. And we've also asked that, given that there have been delays in the conclusion to the development of this protocol by the committee in Dublin, that he goes ahead and makes a decision on the issue of redress at the end of May as agreed.
And Minister English said that the protocol would be complete by the end of April. Now we know this is not the case, but he says that it will be published in the coming weeks. Are you hopeful that that will be the case?
Well, we are very hopeful that will be the case. And we know that there have been significant delays in that development, that protocol. Even with the conclusion to that protocol, he has indicated there will be a 6-week period where it will go out for public consultation. So that will bring us up to the middle of May and really after that there will be final tweaks and so on. We see, I think it's very unlikely that given his timeline that he gave us in December that they will meet the deadline for the end of May. So what we are saying is that given the delay to the development and publication of the protocol, we see no reason why they can't just go ahead and make a decision on redress, because our view is that protocol has to be established anyway, whether or not there is redress or not, and that one does not hinge upon the other.
Meanwhile, within the next hour, a Sinn Féin delegation, including Senator Padraig McLaughlin, will meet with Minister English to push for a MICA redress scheme for the affected homeowners in Donegal and Mayo. The HSE has announced a plan to provide more holiday-related respite care in Donegal. It's part of a plan to provide enhanced respite this year for people with disabilities and their families. An additional €10 million is being invested across the state's 9 community health organisations as part of the initiative. In CHO1, which incorporates Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim, Cavan and Monaghan, a new 4-bed residential respite house will be developed. New additional in-home respite is planned for Cavan, Monaghan and Sligo Leitrim, while in Donegal, additional community-based supports are planned, along with holiday-related respite. The number of people presenting themselves as homeless in Donegal remains stable. 26 people in Donegal registered themselves as homeless during the period of the 19th to the 25th of March, the same as during the same period in February. Donegal recorded the lowest homeless figures in the country last month. Dublin recorded the highest, with 4,107 adults presenting themselves as homeless. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Latest figures published by the Department of Housing, Planning and Local Government show that during the week of the 19th to the 25th of March, 59 adults were recorded as homeless in the Northwest region, 26 in Donegal, 2 in Leitrim and 31 in Sligo. Of those, 13 adults sought private emergency accommodation, 23 received supported temporary accommodation, 14 were provided with temporary emergency accommodation and 9 accessed other local authority managed emergency accommodation. During the same period, 7 families presented themselves as homeless, 6 of which were single parent families, with a total of 16 dependents.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure's massive May Day sale starting Thursday.
It's now 5:15 and time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with soccer, and Bayern Munich must score twice tonight at the Bernabeu if they're to maintain hope of reaching the Champions League final. They go into tonight's semi-final second leg 2-1 down to holders Real Madrid. Kick-off in the Spanish capital is 7:45. Adam Lallana, he's been included in Liverpool's squad for tomorrow's semi-final second leg with Roma. The midfielder's last start lasted just 5 minutes at Crystal Palace a month ago, but Liverpool are light on options in the centre of the park. Liverpool take a 5-2 first leg lead with them to Rome. Martin O'Neill, he says players must show total commitment if they're thinking of declaring for the Republic of Ireland. In March, Reading's England-born midfielder Liam Kelly turned down a chance to link up with the squad ahead of a friendly in Turkey. At the time, Kelly cited personal reasons for his decision to opt out. But speaking today at the launch of the Sports Direct FAI Summer Soccer School, O'Neill says he wants to see a desire to wear the green jersey from new recruits.
First of all, you have to be a good player for a start. That does help. And if someone's going to improve your team, then I do believe that managers will chase the players. If some player's, you know, not all that brilliant and is humming and hawing about playing, I'm not so sure that the chase is worth it. That's my view.
Elsewhere, one of the key members of Dundalk's backroom team has left the club. Strength and conditioning coach Graham Byrne is leaving to pursue other options. Byrne was a member of the backroom team that helped Dundalk win three league titles in a row and was part of the Europa League run in 2016. In Scotland, Stephen Gerrard is odds-on favourite to replace Graham Murty as Rangers manager. Murty was sacked from the Ibrox club today just 2 days after a 5-0 thrashing at the hands of Celtic, which handed the Scottish Premiership title to their Glasgow rivals. Jimmy Nicol and Jonathan Johansson will take charge of Rangers' remaining three games of the season. Managerial novice Gerrard is the clear favourite to replace Murty, with Gary McAllister reportedly lined up as his assistant. Back in the Premier League, Mohamed Salah is the Football Writers Association Player of the Year. His 43 goals since signing from Roma in the summer saw him pip Manchester City's Kevin De Bruyne. He did the same to win the Professional Footballers Association Award last month. Back here at home in the Inishowen League tonight in the Premier Division, there's one game down for decision. Buncrana Hearts, they host Greencastle. 6:45 is the kick-off time in that one. In the Donegal Youth League, there was two semi-finals in the John Gorey Curran Memorial Youth Cup scheduled for this evening. One of those is off. Letterkenny Rovers against Swally, that one's off. But Dunfanaghy Youth, they take on Fannet United. That one goes ahead. Kick-off time is 6:45. In Gaelic games, the Ulster Championship starts on Sunday, May the 13th for Donegal and Ballybofey against Cavan. One of the new boys into the panel is St Union's keeper Sean Patton, who has swapped League of Ireland soccer with Sligo Rovers for senior inter-county football. It's been a steep learning curve for Patton, who pushed for a starting role in goals during a difficult league campaign, which resulted in relegation to Division 2. Speaking with Tom Comeck at the Ulster Championship launch on Monday evening, Sean says they're fully focused on Cavan and is excited ahead of his first Ulster experience with Donegal.
It's a special opportunity and it's a fantastic experience for myself, and I'm very excited, looking forward to it. We're training hard and we're working hard, you know, I would say, as every other county in the country is just preparing themselves as best they can for the championship. This is what you train for these days. This is what you work so hard for, is to get out and perform and play in front of such big crowds and people who's there for as much love of the county as you are, you know, and you're just that lucky one to get on the jersey in the day and try perform to the best of your ability.
You can hear more from Sean on our website in the sports section, highlandradio.com. In rugby, England's Wayne Barnes has been confirmed as the referee for the Champions Cup final against between Leinster and Racing 92 on May the 12th. It'll be Barnes' second time to take charge of the decider, having been the man in the middle for the 2010 final. Jerome Garces will referee the Challenge Cup final, which pits Cardiff Blues against Gloucester. That's on May the 11th. Both finals will be played at the San Mamés Stadium in Bilbao. Moving on to snooker, and Judd Trump leads four-time champion John Higgins by 5-3 in their World Championship quarter-final. On the other table this afternoon, Mark Williams and Ali Carter, they're tied at 3 apiece. This evening, Mark Allen, he'll resume his last 8 tie with Kieran Wilson. They're tied at 4 apiece after this morning's session. Barry Hawkins, he'll resume 5-3 up and Ding Jung Wee. In boxing, Carl Frampton says it's a dream come true to secure a fight at Windsor Park. The interim WBO featherweight champion will face a yet-to-be-named opponent at the Belfast Stadium on August the 18th. In tennis, Wimbledon bosses are changing prize money rules to stop injured players from starting and then quitting first-round matches. They'll now be entitled to half their money if they pull out on site before playing, Previously, they didn't get anything unless they went out in court. It's after several controversial withdrawals last year. Players could also now be fined for exploiting the system. The overall prize fund is going up to £34 million. Finally, for this evening in cricket, the interprovincial season started today in Dublin. The Leinster Lightning were hosting the North West Warriors. The North West Warriors, they were batting first a short time ago. They were 211 for 3 after 75 overs. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. The HSE has made a €5 million settlement to the family of a boy with cerebral palsy in a case taken over the handling of his birth at Sligo General Hospital. The case, which was settled without an admission of liability, was taken by his mother, Lisa Carpenter, who lives in Cullinane in County Sligo. Frank Greeney reports.
Kyle Carpenter was born 3 weeks early on May 3rd, 2009. His mother Lisa went to hospital 2 days beforehand complaining of stomach pain. The pain continued after she went home, but she experienced no pain when she woke up on May 3rd and couldn't feel any movement. She was advised to go back to hospital and a CTG scan taken at 1:30 that afternoon gave some cause for concern. Despite that, she claimed a decision to deliver the baby wasn't made for another hour and Kyle required resuscitation when he was eventually delivered at 3:37. He's since been diagnosed with cerebral palsy. The HSE contested liability and the case was due to go to a full hearing before it was settled out of court today with no admission of liability. In approving the €5 million settlement, Mr Justice Kevin Cross described the case as complex and one, he said, that would have had an uncertain outcome for the family had it gone to a full hearing. Frank Graney at the High Court.
A recent Joint Policing Committee meeting has heard of the widespread concern after it emerged that two convicted child sex offenders had registered in Donegal. James White and Jason Lydiard, also known as Alexis Gusto, both served time in Northern Ireland for child sex offences and registered at Letterkenny Garda Station just over a week ago, but later returned to the North. Chair of the JPC, Councillor Jerry McMonagle, says a protocol put in place by the Gardaí to deal with similar scenarios was questioned and says that in these instances it's vital that information is provided to the public.
It was raised by myself and a member of the PPN in relation to how the Gardaí dealt with the fact that these two paedophiles were walking about Donegal. And once we understood from what the Gardaí says that all they can do is ensure that they sign on at the Garda station closest to them, we were very concerned that there was no information imparted to the local community, and we felt that that should be the case. And we asked them would they come back to us with the protocol for this.
And these men were convicted and they did serve their time in relation to the offences committed, but there was much concern across the area. And do you think it would have been beneficial if the Gardaí had released a statement maybe to reassure the public?
That was echoed at our meeting. We talked about the real concern that the parents had, and that was displayed through posts in social media. People were searching social media for information. People were posting up information as to whereabouts of these gentlemen. Some was correct and some of it wasn't. And what we were saying, this is not the way that the community should be treated. That the Gardaí, we believe, had a responsibility for the well-being of all within the community, and that they should have maybe took other steps to inform the local communities as to who these gentlemen were and where they were residing, and just to put the local community on guard.
Two men have been arrested in Derry following an overnight robbery in the Gallia area of Derry. Police are appealing for information, as Catherine Gaffney now reports.
The PSNI have issued the appeal for information following an aggravated burglary in the Gallia Park area in the early hours of this morning. It was reported that shortly after 1 a.m, two men entered an address and threatened the occupant with a knife before making off with cash and medication. Two males, aged 23 and 24, were arrested a short time later and are currently in custody. Detectives are asking anyone with information to contact them or, alternatively, to provide the information to the Independent Charity Crime Stoppers, which they say is 100% anonymous and gives people the power to speak up and stop crime.
And finally, a former Ulster Unionist MP who is now an independent member of the House of Lords has been criticised for a tweet referring to Leo Varadkar as a typical Indian. It was after Unionists accused the Taoiseach of having poor manners over a last-minute visit to Northern Ireland. Lord Kilclooney, formerly John Taylor MP, denies the comment was racist, having already been involved in a similar controversy over comments about the Taoiseach's race last year. Current UUP leader Robin Swan says while there may be questions about whether Mr. Varadkar followed proper protocols, there is no excuse for the language that was used. However, he is stressing this is not an issue for the Ulster Unionist Party.
I don't have to put distance between the Ulster Unionist Party and John Taylor. John Taylor is no longer an Ulster Unionist peer and hasn't been for some time, so the party carries no responsibility for what John tweets, but it's not something that we would either endorse or stand over. I query whether the Taoiseach did follow the proper protocols and coming into Northern Ireland. He says he contacted the Northern Ireland office. I'm not sure he's contacted the Upper Bannock MP, which I think was the proper discourse he should have followed, but that didn't warrant, nor should it warrant, a tweet of that type.
Meanwhile, speaking in the Dáil this afternoon, Leo Varadkar says he thought it was a parody Twitter account.
In terms of Lord Kilclooney's tweet, I did see it. I actually had thought that was a parody account, but seemingly it's not. It actually is for real. But that's all I'll say about that.
And for weather now, rain clearing to scattered showers this evening. Tonight will be cool with lowest temperatures of 3 to 6 degrees and light to moderate west to northwest winds. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, out of 87 Garda members reallocated to roads policing units throughout the country, 3 have been appointed to Donegal. The Garda Traffic Corps has undergone an internal examination and evaluation of their roles and functions with a view to improving their service to the community and their contribution to road safety. The MICA Action Group have once again written to Housing Minister Damien English, urging him to proceed with the redress scheme for MICA-affected homes in Donegal, despite other delays. Meanwhile, within the next hour, a Sinn Féin delegation, including Senator Padraig McLaughlin, will meet with Minister English to push for a MICA redress scheme for the affected homeowners in Donegal and Mayo. It's emerged that a business community watch group for Carndonagh has not been set up despite apparent interest from local businesses. The town and surrounding areas was subject to a high number of break-ins last year, which led to calls for a business watch group to be established. And the number of people presenting themselves as homeless in Donegal remains stable. 26 people in Donegal registered themselves as homeless during the period of the 19th and 20th to 25th of March, the same as during the same period in February. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 1st of May. The death has occurred of Tony O'Callaghan, The Hill, Killybegs. His remains will repose at his residence from 5:30 this evening, with removal on Thursday morning at 10:30 to St Mary's Church, Killybegs, for 11 o'clock funeral mass. Burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Killybegs Community Hospital. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Kathleen Erskine, 58 Conlon Road, Killybegs. Her remains are reposing at her residence with removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to St Mary's Church, Killybegs, for 11 o'clock funeral mass. Burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Killybegs Community Hospital. And the death has taken place of Jean McKinley, Cleggan, Hornhead, Dunfanaghy. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral service in Holy Trinity Church, Hornhead Road, Dunfanaghy, tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Burial afterwards in Clondahorkey Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Harkin Funeral Directors.